This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Good to be with you. Scanning the news articles, and boy, are we just in the same boat, rocking back and forth over and over and over again. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Supposed to get a little stormy, I think, later on through the day, but this weekend was a really fantastic weekend for weather. Mm-hmm. We got to christen the pool at my parents' house, which is exciting, and just take in the weather. Got a bunch of mosquito bites. That stinks. Mosquito bites, is that the worst thing about warm weather?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything worse than mosquito bites?
Hate mosquitoes.
I don't realize until we're at like halfway through the evening portion that I'm like, I think it's too late. I think there's nothing I can do right now. The mosquitoes have attacked me. But it was nice to be able to take in some of the nice weather. In our house is a big day. Our four-year-old turned five today.
Yay!
And if you know my four-year-old, that's just, every year I think like 3 to 4, I'm like, gosh, 4 is just so old. And then they turn 5 and you're like, gosh, 5 is just so old. And then it's my birthday and I have to go back to my birth year and do math and figure out how old I actually am in order to understand what kind of situation we're in here for myself personally. But for my kids, it's just constantly like, how does this happen? How does it move so quickly? And yet there we are, you know, specifically with me counting down the days. Time seems to go so slow. I think it's 49. No, that's not right. 45 days till my due date. Katie, do you have the stuff to talk about this thing that we're
doing? I do. I have the information. That's why I'm like, we got to be pretty discreet.
Well, my due date is mm-hmm. June 17th. Mm-hmm. So that is news you can use.
Okay.
For what purpose?
We have an Annie Fry baby pool going on right now. 971talk.com/contests is where you can enter your guess to see when Annie will have the baby. How much the baby will weigh, the height of the baby, I think we put in their name of the baby, correct?
Is name in there? I know length is in there.
Length is
in
there.
I don't even know.
So you're going to put down all of this information, and then you're going to click guess, and then we're going to ask for your name and your email address. Because
can I see the name suggestions in case I like one?
Sure.
Why not?
We still haven't really settled on one yet, so that
Which
could be
is
interesting.
Exciting. It's going to be, this is a really cool thing that our boss was putting together. I think it's going to be hilarious. I can't wait to see what people think I'm ready to, and there's a prize. You get.
I was just going to say, you can win some. This isn't just about.
Yeah, you can win.
This is about you, really.
Whoever has the closest, like, due date and then height and then weight and so on and so forth down the list, whoever is the closest to what happens with Annie, this is going on May 3rd to May 23rd, gets to have a spa day. And then the prizes on the spa day, you can choose three of them. And that's going to also, our promotions director will be contacting you through email. That's what you have to give. And it's a wonderful package. I'm like, ooh, how do I sign up? Because the girl needs a day out, but I can't. But it's going to be really fun. I'm excited to see I'm excited to see the results, what everybody thinks. It's a real 971talk.com/contests.
I'm looking at it right now. And if you are on the live stream right now, so we have facebook.com/Annie Fry Show and the Annie Fry YouTube channel. I just posted the URL there. Is it just enter one time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah. I mean, if you've listened a lot, there might be some things that you've heard that I've said. So it says date the baby will be born, time the baby will be born, time.
Oh,
good
yeah.
Grief. Weight of baby, pounds and ounces. Let's go small. Baby's length. And you just hit continue and you go, I wonder if I can enter. Get your predictions in. Winner will be selected based on the information from the official birth certificate. Please see official rules at 971talk.com/rules for further contests and prizing deals. Because I cannot win a 971 contest.
Well, I don't know that you'd win. I think you can enter.
And thank you to New Season Spa and Salon, because that's where you're going to be able to, if you win, that's where you're going to go.
Located in Ronnie's Plaza off of South Lindbergh. This is exciting. This is the sampler allows you to enjoy three of these services: express massage, express pedicure, bikini wax, express facial, spa manicure, blow dry and style, and or natural makeup application. So you could go get, I mean, you could have like your nice relaxing day at the spa, and just, you know, go home and sit with your zen for the rest of the day. Or you could maybe get a manicure, you get a spa manicure, a blow dry and style natural makeup application, and then go out for the night. And cheers to the new baby.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
I think I want to. Ooh, there's extra exclamation points after my name. Annie Fry, 2 exclamation points. 971talk.com/contests. You can see this, and I encourage you to check it out. It's pretty cool that they're doing this, and you get the opportunity to get a prize. It doesn't cost you anything. You might as well go in and make a guess, for sure.
This is our first contest, I think, since COVID.
This might be the first Annie Fry
Show contest. That's very true.
This is our big promotion. We would love for people to participate in this with us, because this is exciting. And it's a cute little picture on here, baby pool with a little baby and a stork.
Mm-hmm.
It is a girl, so you don't need to guess that. I'll tell you that. So, yeah, there's no name guess on here. Man, I've been trying to adjust. I feel better, like, just from a health standpoint. I don't feel as irpy all the time. There are things that will trigger it, but I'm just getting maximum uncomfortable. So 33 and a half weeks at this point. Again, the due date is June 17th. So I'm going to tell you that. And as you listen, maybe if you listen more, if I accidentally spill the beans on, I mean, I'm not going to know what time the baby will be born, the weight or the baby's length. So I can't tell you that. But the more you listen to the show, the more chances you might have to pick something up about details about previous pregnancies that I've had with my other kids. I might talk about that from time to time. And then maybe you can make your spouse enter or your friends enter and see if they can win.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fun. So I just wanted to make sure you guys knew about that ahead of time. Watching the news this weekend, you were talking, Katie, about Cuomo blaming Trump right now. Do we want to play? Do you have the ability to play that?
I got that. Yep, I can do it.
Listen into this here real quick, coming out of New York.
Is being looked at by the Eastern District. That was a political investigation started by Donald Trump, who politicized not just COVID, but then politicized nursing homes and policies towards nursing homes. And wanted to blame Democratic governors like myself and Michigan and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. It was all our fault. And then had his political Department of Justice start an investigation. And they were a political Department of Justice. There was no doubt about that. So that's being done by the Department of Justice. And I've already told New Yorkers where I am. I did nothing wrong, and period. And I'm not resigning, and I'm doing my job every day.
Do you think there's a chance that Cuomo gets his comeuppance on this? Because all this is right now is a passing the buck on who gets the full blame for whatever the situation is. His the gaslighting that takes place, you know, the political investigation he's talking about right now, is he talking about the nursing home investigation?
Mm-hmm.
So we are discussing who's really to blame for people knowing about the nursing home scandal? Is that what we're discussing right now? Because the fact of the matter is that the policy caused over 15,000 people to die, right? The policy put in place by this administration, Lord knows, if Donald Trump breathed anywhere near anything that could possibly be tagged on him as some sort of negative responsibility towards something bad that happened, then of course Donald Trump is, he's responsible for all of it. In fact, they'd make the case if Donald Trump was in Cuomo's spot that he actually wanted it to happen that way. They would go that far. They know no bounds to their lengths. However, when Andrew Cuomo is talking about the nursing home scandal, who's ever talking about the lives that are lost? Who has ever brought up the conversation surrounding this issue? You know, honestly, one of the things that Cuomo said at one time was like, people, why does it matter where they die? Like, literally things that Cuomo has said. When it comes to the actual scandal that we're looking at, it's not what we're actually talking about. We're passing the buck and passing the blame about, well, the only reason you found out about this is because Trump was trying to politicize his investigative team and they wanted to score political points on me here as the governor. Well, I don't think that that really means a whole lot to the people who lost their loved ones because your policy sucked. Because your policy was responsible for the death of loved ones to the tune of over 15,000 people in New York. That fact remains. And the truth is that other Democratic governors, as Cuomo stated there, across the country, who he also said were targets of this politicized investigation, that they followed Cuomo's policies. The policy was bad. It's hard to argue against that, Governor Cuomo. The policy in and of itself stinks. And when you look into who's investigating it and why they're investigating it, if it happens to be somebody who's on the other side of the aisle, that becomes the political poker chip that Cuomo needs to get everybody to say the magic T word, Trump. And now we're talking about whether or not this is really a Trump. Is this really a Trump thing? Because it's probably really a Trump thing, don't you think? Can't we spin this so that if we get the name Donald Trump annexed to the story in any way, shape, or form, then the people who can't stand Trump will get in a tizzy, as they always do. That's how they wake up in the morning and check the news to find out how they can be obsessed with Donald Trump today. And you change the focus. The spotlight moves away from Cuomo onto Donald Trump, and life carries on. I mean, this is the way we have moved in our society, because we have an agenda-driven activist media who's invested in making sure that one political party wins and one continues to suffer at every turn of the corner. It's one of the reasons why for over a year now we've been having Dr. Scott Hardiman come on the show as a medical professional who can talk about coronavirus, who can talk about social distancing, who can talk about flattening the curve, that can talk about vaccines, and we can just talk about the medicine around it. We can just talk about how this affects you as a person who gives a crap about the politics around something that is affecting so many people so incredibly deeply. When you can't go anywhere and get straight news about something, this is why we've been talking to Dr. Scott Hardiman. We're going to talk to him when we come back for the next couple of segments. Ryan and I will ask some questions of the doc in the first segment, but right now you can start commenting your questions in the live chat, and we will ask those questions of Dr. Scott Hardiman starting at about 12:40, 12:45. So get your questions in for the doc about whatever it is your questions are regarding COVID. And when we talk about it, we don't talk about it in a political sense. We talk about it in a medical sense. And we're going to do that when we come back. And go enter that baby pool, 971talk.com/contest, and win yourself a spa day. if you want to enter it and win it, and you don't think you need a spa day, but maybe your significant other does, do it and give it to them. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
They are right to be pointing out the government's mixed messages. Dine indoors without a mask, they say, but make sure your kids cover up in school. Even if you think you can rationalize all the rules, others can't or won't. And so the social fabric frays some more. I think newsrooms based in the Northeast need to acknowledge that many people in many states changed their masking habits months ago. And interviewers need to keep challenging inconsistent, confusing claims from the CDC.
Yeah, we've had a lot of inconsistent, confusing claims. And to Brian Stelter's credit there, when you look across the country and you look state to state to state, a lot of these mandates are extremely different. You cross a border and things drastically change. Certainly here in Illinois, we still feel pretty locked down in certain capacities. The mask mandate is in effect, and we will wait and see when Governor Pritzker allows us to enjoy our freedoms a little bit more. And you see southern parts of the state saying, I think we're going to kind of do this already. You go across the state line to Missouri and you get a different understanding of what guidelines are in place. The conflicting information has become very confusing for a lot of people, myself included. And I think it kind of causes a distrust for everybody. Well, that's why we have Dr. Scott Hardiman come on the show just to talk about the medical aspects of this and keep the politics out of it. He's a physician at Gateway ENT and urgent specialist. Doctor, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks very much. It's good to be back. Happy Monday to you all.
Yes, happy Monday to you also. I want to ask you, just of all of the guidance that has been given and the, you know, recommendations, the guidelines that exist right now, pick apart for us what are things that you think are really important for people to follow, adhere to, or listen to when it comes to suggestions about how we should combat COVID in our own personal lives. What are some of your highlights that you think this is a really important thing people do need to know?
Sure. And I think in your segue leading up to that, there has been a lot of back and forth and mixed messaging on this. And some of that, I think, has to do with people's individual interpretation, different localized health departments and what have you on how you utilize the CDC guidelines, the information that best fits your particular community. But I think at the end of the day, the mitigation strategies to mask and social distance and personal hygiene issues are things that tend to really be the focus of this all. Of course, now there's all that information with vaccine mandates as well and vaccine recommendations. But at the end of the day, I think the take-home point to this is that this is a respiratory illness like many others. And I think the keys are, you know, if you're ill or feel as if you have potential to have some sort of respiratory illness, whether it's COVID or something else at this point, to, you know, sit that out, sort it out for a period of time, give it a day or two, get tested if you need to, if there's a concern that's there. When you're in large groups or gatherings, you know, masking in those situations just to try and control source if you were sick or other people potentially there could be sick, makes sense. Keeping a little bit of just kind of common sense personal distance between individuals. But, you know, as you start to get outdoors and spend more time in groups of people, once you're outdoors, really, things tend to change quite a bit. So the take-home point, as I've sort of said for a long time, is really use some exercise and personal responsibility. If you're sick, don't go out, sort the situation out, wash your hands a lot. When you're in groups of people, depending on the size of groups, you know, obviously try and mask or at least keep a little bit of distance between you and the other individuals.
Dr. Hardiman, a lot of the advice that we're hearing now is newer because the vaccine is out there and more people have it. So the advice is geared toward people who've been vaccinated. Should all that advice and even sometimes these guidelines include people who have had COVID just the same as have been vaccinated because they end up being kind of the same as far as antibodies go, or are they different?
Yeah, so opinions fall on both sides of that. Obviously, the general push is for folks that even if they have confirmed previously had COVID through testing or antibody testing to get a vaccine. And we touched on that a little bit last week, that vaccines obviously do tend to produce a much stronger neutralizing antibody response, at least initially with that, although we're seeing, you know, have to follow that data long term. You can kind of look at the other side of that and say that obviously people who are healthy and have mounted a normal immune response and have a good, robust, healthy immune system and no other major comorbid issues, you can really take from that, you know, there is a good level of, at least in the near short term, immunity to that. We're looking at 6 to 9 months or so out, maybe just a bit longer. So it's, I think you can take from that that obviously the push is at the large level, at the government level, is going to be to get as many folks vaccinated as possible, to follow these guidelines. But folks that have recently had this as well, I mean, obviously there's a, should be at least some level of comfort and measure there, knowing that you've been exposed and you've mounted immune response and recovered and convalesced well from it.
I want to ask you a question about mask wearing when, you know, we've heard some relaxation on that type of guidance from the CDC here lately, but can you come up with, tell me a circumstance where one would be outdoors where a mask would still be a good idea?
To be honest, not a great one. You know, I think if you're in a very large group of individuals and, you know, I'm just going to throw out an example of a big concert environment where people are kind of mingling around in close proximity to one another, a lot of singing, a lot of carrying on, where you're very close proximity to folks, potentially you could make an argument in a situation like that. But for most purposes, I would say if you're out and about at a sporting event, watching kids play, if you're at small gatherings with your family or friends and what have you, you know, that it's a game changer with this because once you get outdoors, obviously virus tends to dissipate. There's breeze and wind that takes it away. Potential sunlight can deactivate some of these things. So it really is, I mean, it's a very, very, very low risk of transmission in an outdoor environment like that. You know, they tend to take a very one side versus other side approach to this. And, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, you can take your mask off. If you're not, you've got to leave your mask on. But still, it doesn't change the fact that outdoor transmission is exceedingly low with this.
Dr. Hardiman, over the last couple months, you know, in February, the case rate and the death rate dropped dramatically. But then in March, April, and now into May, it seems like it's kind of flattened in the United States anyway. Why do you think that is?
Well, and most recently, too, it's at least the daily numbers of cases have started to decline a little bit again. Again, it's difficult to know day by day, but it looks like the last week or so, the averages, kind of moving averages, have started to decline. The death rate that's sort of logged is about plateauing or flat at this point in time. But I think there's, to be honest, I don't know that I have a great answer to that particular question, but I think there's potential things here that maybe we're seeing it pop up in a little younger population or groups of individuals. you know, perhaps the variants are having a little bit of a role in this, and potentially we could be, as we loosen some of the restrictions as well. But it's awfully difficult to know for certain, because you can parallel that to other states that have lifted restrictions and have eliminated mask mandates, and to a large degree they haven't seen dramatic increases in their cases. So a little difficult. I would say there's probably an element of the variants moving through, and we're sort of seeing a little bit of change in that. So perhaps some of the contagious nature of those are different than others. The big one that tends to be circulating now, the B.1.17, I believe it is perhaps a bit more contagious than others, and that could account for, you know, the flattening of some of the transmission rate that's out there as well. But, you know, at least in Missouri, I would say we've still kind of had a positivity rate that's been holding in that upper 4s to low 5% range. And we kind of talked about this about 4 to 6 weeks ago. I said the next 6 weeks will probably be really interesting to see. I really do think that, you know, as 100 million people plus now are fully vaccinated, I think the latest numbers around 150 million people have had at least one dose of vaccine. You know, I think that we're in, you couple that with folks that have had this, I am optimistic that the numbers are going to continue to start trending downward now at this point.
You know, I was curious, Doctor, what your reaction is to some of these big events. They make a huge deal out of in the media, so everyone's sitting here and, you know, biting their fingernails watching the Super Bowl take place in Tampa Bay, and then Texas decides to open their stadium to full capacity. So the Rangers, you can watch a full capacity baseball game next to people. They do have mask mandates, however, or at least mask requirements for in stadium. However, we've all watched baseball games, and you see how many people are complying with that through the duration of the event. I think back all the way to spring break of last year, everybody lost their minds because these kids were still participating in spring break. The event is always a really big news story. And then we get told 2 weeks, 2 weeks to 3 weeks down the line is when you'll know what kind of super spreader event it was. They really haven't materialized much. And I'm curious, from your medical opinion, does it bother you to see the sensationalizing of these stories, these events, when they take place? What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it does, actually. I think you're absolutely right. The you know, we tend to see these things, and people are sort of vilified that they're going to be in these big groups and this is all taking place. And, you know, of course, if there is some sort of outbreak or spreader event, you always hear about that, although those have been pretty few and far between in the grand scheme of things. You never hear about it if the answer was, well, it didn't seem like that materialized. Of course, there's going to be some transmission at that level when you get a lot of people congregating together. You would with any respiratory illness, or any illness for that matter, that is contagious at this level. But that doesn't necessarily and hasn't really translated into these massive outbreaks or huge spikes in areas based upon the gatherings that are there. So it is, you know, there's just very strong opinions in how this gets viewed, and you can view it with rose-colored glasses or with not. And I think that the take-home with this is that you just have to get back to the fact that, you know, in certain circumstances, transmission rate is low, people are getting vaccinated, people that have had it should feel relatively safe. It's time to start finding a little positive news in that and try and, you know, get society back to some level of normal if we can.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We're going to take a quick break. We've got some questions coming in on the live chat right now. If you would like us to ask a question on your behalf to Dr. Scott Hardiman, he is a physician at Gateway ENT and also an urgent specialist, comment it right now on the Facebook Live or the Annie Fry YouTube channel live. You can just go in there, sign in, comment your question, and we will ask as many as we can when we return. He'll be with us for another full segment, so stick around. More medical response to COVID, taking the politics out, getting straight to the facts so that we can actually know what's going on with Dr. Scott Hardiman. Don't go away.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some of your Monday afternoon with us. We appreciate you being here. Each Monday, we welcome Dr. Scott Hardiman onto the show. He is a physician at Gateway ENT and an urgent specialist. And we talk about the medical aspects of COVID, about combating COVID, vaccines, masks, CDC guidelines, everything you want to know. We field those questions right now. So we'll get to as many as we can. If you have a question you would like to ask the doc, what we're going to have you do is go onto the Facebook Live at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow and just comment your question there. You can go to the YouTube channel as well, the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You'll see that we're live, and you can comment in the chat your question, and we'll get to as many as we can. All right, Doc, are you ready to answer some questions?
I am ready. I'll give it my best.
Okay. Don on our YouTube channel said, what are the health benefits of elementary-aged children wearing a mask?
Boy, that's a big topic of discussion right now, isn't it? So there's a big push, and we've probably all seen the social media posts of the folks out there, parents just pleading for their kids to lift the mask mandates in schools. I think obviously those things were done and put in place. The social distancing, the mask mandates were put in place early on, and the schools that wanted to go back in session adopted those with a plan, interpreted the information as they saw fit in order to keep the schools open or get the schools open and keep the kids safe. Fortunately, there's quite a bit of information and data now to show that school transmission has been exceedingly low. So obviously, as the move goes for more and more schools to go back in session, I'm hopeful that some of these mask mandates in kids will continue to come down. There's quite a bit of evidence that the transmission rate in children is low. It certainly can happen. But again, if children are sick and they're following health screenings prior to school and adhering to that and staying home, if they're running a fever or having respiratory illnesses until they get that sorted out to find out what it is, you know, the question there is, do they need to wear a mask in school? You know, it's hard for me to go out on a limb and say that that's not necessary, but at the same time, I really think that there's potential harm that is taking place to kids where they can't really socially interact and carry on the way they need to. And we're into this over a year at this point in time. I think it's going to take some brave school administrators and places to, start saying, you know, what we're going to try and break this down, get the masks off when they're outside at recess, and then start to look about what we can do in the classroom environment as well. As long as I think families are willing and appropriate in keeping kids home from school when they're sick, then I think that that could be done and could be done safely as well. And to be honest, I'm hopeful that that actually takes place.
This question comes from Michael on the Annie Fry Show Facebook stream. Please ask the doc, if herd immunity will not happen due to people opting out of the vaccine, does that mean those that do will still have to continue to wear a mask because of their God-given choices?
No, I think that the term herd immunity gets tossed around a bit. And what we've assumed is that we would get this to a point where there was either no transmission or very, very low transmission that was taking place. That we're going to get to that point one way or another through people getting the illness, through vaccines being given. And then I think just the natural progression of these respiratory illnesses. Where it gets a little bit tricky is if you insert some variants and you insert some other aspects of the contagious nature of the virus. It may take a little time, but like we've talked about, I'm not really convinced that this is going away per se. I think we're going to see that it becomes very insignificant in the sense that through vaccines and having the illness, you run a very, very low risk of either getting it or getting it a second time or having severe illness. I still think we're going to get to that point. I don't like it necessarily when we tend to point fingers at folks who are choosing at this point in time to not get a vaccine for whatever reasons that may be. There's choices out there, but limited choices out there. I think people are just trying to determine and weigh the odds and risks and benefits of all of these things, both the health risk from the illness, but also the potential health risk or side effects associated with vaccines. As time goes on, that comfort level is going to improve. So, you know, there's been a little slowing in the number of vaccines that have been given across the country, but the numbers are still continuing to increase. More and more people are participating in that, and we're still going to get there. It's just, I just don't know that it does necessarily a whole lot of good to point fingers and say that someone makes a bad choice, and as a result of that, we're never going to get to this end point.
I agree. Speaking with Dr. Scott Hardiman, is a physician who answers our COVID questions, answering your listener questions right now from our live chats. This is from Gail, who's watching on the Twitter at Annie Fry Show. Does wearing a mask weaken your lungs?
I'm going to say no to that. You know, folks that don't want to wear masks, you know, we can find research to point in one direction or the other, but wearing a simple cloth mask or a medical grade mask and just normal respirations, it does give you a little sense of little anxiety, shall we say, if you spend an entire 8 or 10 hour day in one of those things. But as if you're not exercising or at a high level of energy, you know, most folks don't necessarily recognize that to a large degree. So weaken your lungs, I would say no.
Dr. Scott Hardiman, physician at Gateway ENT and urgent specialist on the phone with us. Tim on the YouTube stream asks, why should I get the vaccine if I have already had COVID? There are T-cell tests that now prove that you have protection.
Yeah, that question came up last week too, I think, and in a roundabout way. And I think the answer to that is where there's great evidence to show that folks who've had it, again, I would put the caveat in there that a lot of people say, oh, I had this. And then when you push them on it, they'll say, well, you know, I had all the symptoms. I never really got tested one way or the other. He is correct. You can antibody test and you can T-cell test to see. And T-cell testing is probably more accurate to determine if you've had sort of a sensitization of your immune system to this. Where the quote vaccine experts on this really come into play is that back to these neutralizing antibodies. They say, well, you can get a higher level of neutralizing antibodies to the coronavirus if you were to achieve a vaccine. And that is true. It's really undisputable. But, you know, we still, a year plus into this now, we're still not seeing these massive numbers of people who've had truly documented cases of getting this a second time. And when they have come up, the symptoms have been very, very mild. So, you know, again, the current guidelines are that they're recommending vaccines for all folks, even if they've suspected or been tested positive for it before. But you can't argue the facts that there is scientific research out there that shows that having had it or been exposed to it, you do have a good immune response to it, that you should have a level of protection associated with that.
Another question from YouTube. Don says, what protection does the vaccine provide? And we get this one every week and we talk about it. And I guess people still haven't heard the response. Can you still pass on the virus after vaccination?
So the transmission studies are currently underway. Logically, you would think, well, if you don't get it or have a very mild case of that, it would be much less transmissible to other people. And I think that's really true. And I think you're going to see that play out once those studies get looked at. But the endpoints that were really looked at by the pharmaceutical companies or manufacturers of this really looked at severity of disease and preventing it in that in particular individual. So, you know, that kind of harkens back. Of course, we think it's going to decrease the transmission rate. But, you know, when people kind of back to pointing of fingers in this say, well, you're harming other people because you're not getting vaccinated, you can carry that same logic a little step further and say, well, the studies have really shown that the vaccine efficacy is to prevent severe disease in that individual. And it really hasn't been largely studied to look at transmission. But in the end, I think that will play out.
This question comes from Ann on the Annie Fry Show YouTube page. How do positivity rates work again? My understanding is that if two people are tested for COVID-19 and one comes back positive, doesn't then that translate to a 50% positivity rate?
So you have to assume that all the data is being collected and accounted for. So obviously positive cases are being reported to the governing boards, the state boards that monitor this type of stuff. It only is as accurate as the numbers that are being reported or accepted, though. So there are certainly examples out there where negative tests have not necessarily been reported. Our state of Missouri now is reporting positivity rates both on antigen testing and PCR testing separately. And in theory, everyone is collecting all of the negative test rates that are being done as well, because that's obviously a starting point you have to go from. But then we don't truly know, because there's a lot of folks who don't get tested who had this. And just, in fact, we've kind of known and talked about the fact that somewhere between 25 and maybe 35% of people are really being accounted for in this, that there's potentially a much larger number of folks that have had this or have been exposed to it. So it, you know, it's the best data we have to go by at this point. We hope that those that are accumulating data have now caught up to the point that they're staffed appropriately enough that they can adjudicate all of that and know, you know, what the numbers of tests being done, both positive and negative, to get a true sense of what that number is.
We're taking questions right now on the Facebook Live, also the Annie Frye YouTube channel. I've got a question here from Kimmy on Facebook. She wants to know why only vaccines are promoted by physicians and not preventative health and therapeutics. That's not consistent with what you've been talking about. You've talked a lot about things that people can do to prepare themselves to either not get it or to be able to be healthy when they do get it. Maybe we should revisit that conversation.
Sure. And I think there are a lot of physicians that are trying to focus on that. But, you know, I'd be honest, there's this whole thing, as you know, we know it's been politicized, obviously, from both directions. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, I think that it has almost been weaponized against physicians who've spoken out. I mean, now there's, you know, you put some distrust in the boards and put distrust in the medical industrial complex of whether or not you can trust the literature that's out there. There's studies that get published and the studies that get retracted and back and forth and back and forth. And that creates this little bit of mystique about it. So I think there are plenty of physicians who are willing to talk about potential treatments that are being used globally, potential preventative things that can be done, and how to manage that. But the vast majority of physicians, I still think, sort of go with what the general mainstream scientific research is out there. But there are certainly some things that I think, why not try things like maximizing your vitamin D levels and taking zinc on a regular basis and, you know, losing weight if you're significantly overweight, all things that are shown to be associated with poor outcomes. So it's an important conversation to have. And I think when we look back on this and we really see those comorbid issues that are there, identifying and addressing some of those other health issues are very important. But there are many physicians out there that do want to talk about sort of, I wouldn't use the word alternative options to manage this, but just in a bigger picture than just saying, what do you do when a patient gets sick and gets admitted to the hospital? Because that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow when you just look at your patients and say, well, you're not sick enough to be admitted. We hope you do okay. There's a lot of physicians out there who do try and approach it in a more global position.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I've got one last one here sure. From City Scoops Creamery, who says, how long does the Pfizer vaccine stay effective after the second shot? I want to add on to that my personal question. If for some reason someone gets a first shot of a two-dose vaccine and the second shot isn't done within a certain amount of time, do they have to start over? Or what's the process for those second shots that maybe don't happen in the timely fashion for whatever reason?
Yeah, so the answer to the first part of that question was they think perhaps that will be an annual booster vaccine, but I'm not certain that we know an answer to that just yet because variants come into play. Does the vaccine need to be modified slightly if we were to suddenly see just a dramatic increase in a particular strain or variant that this vaccine doesn't cover very well for? There may need to be follow-up shots or boosters for that. But it seems they're hinting now that we're going to need a booster shot at some point, whether that's a year out, 2 years out, it's difficult to know just yet. And then with respect to the other, so generally the protocols that the pharmaceutical companies have put forward are looking at vaccinating between about 3 and 4 weeks apart, roughly. And the vaccines have their maximum onset, usually about 2 weeks or so after that second shot. You get some effect, no question. In fact, pretty substantial effect from even the first shot that's associated with that. And in other countries, the UK in particular, they've expanded or stretched out that interval of time between the first and second dose so that supply could catch up with the demand that was out there, trying to get enough people partially vaccinated so it gave them some ability to fight off the infection. So I'm not aware that if you miss the second shot in a timely fashion that they require you to start over. I think they just follow up with the second shot at that point. If the interval of time has changed, so be it.
All right. Well, Dr. Hardiman, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. Lots of people thanking you right now in the live chat for this segment. We are very grateful for it. Helps us get some clarity in a very, there's a lot of gray area. There's a lot of fogginess going on. Your insight is always very valuable to us and to the listeners. So we thank you for that.
Thank you all very much. Have a great rest of your day.
Yep, you as well. Dr. Scott Hardiman is a physician at Gateway ENT. If you're looking for an ENT, highly recommend Dr. Scott Hardiman. If you're looking for urgent care, he also is a specialist there. So you can go to urgentspecialist.com to learn about urgent specialists where he works. Chances are you're not in need of urgent care right now. And if you are, please go quickly, urgently. If you're not, go to urgentspecialist.com and learn a little bit about them. They are worth the drive. I promise you, you'll pass other urgent care facilities on the way to urgent specialists, but it will be worth your time each and every time. When we come back, we're going to speak with Stephen Moore, who's a senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. We have some news coming out from Joe Biden on some economic concerns, some tax implications. We'll ask Stephen Moore about that when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.